Genesis 22, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, said to him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into a land, the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I want to talk just for a few minutes about godly fathers, because I'm so thankful for our leaders, our Christian school leaders, our club leaders, all the ministries that we have going on in the church, and their investment in our youth. But none of this can replace godly fathers. And I'm not talking about men of high character, success, or those that are hardworking, or those that are morally principled men that are church going. I'm not speaking about any of that. I'm speaking about godly, let me say it again, godly fathers. God, give us some godly fathers. This generation has us so involved in work. We're so caught up with a materialistic mindset, and everything around is drawing our attention, maintaining our attention, keeping our attention off the rearing of our children, distracting us from relationship with God, that godliness has become secondary. Churches in this day and age, more than anything, need godly fathers. Let me repeat that. Godly fathers. Here's what God did. He decided to test Abraham. Not because he didn't know what Abraham was made up of, but he just wanted to see it once again. And here was the conclusion of this test. He passed the test with flying colors. But look what it says in verse 12. He said, lay not, this is God speaking to Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. The most basic principle of a godly father is someone that fears God. And Abraham was a man that feared God. You know what fearing God is? Put it in very simple terms. It's practicing the presence of God in your daily life. It's saying, God, Almighty God, and all-powerful, all-knowing God, is with me all day, every day, observing me, listening to me, walking with me, talking to me. Most Christian men know nothing about the presence of God. Abram was a godly father, and in a very ungodly generation, we need godly men to step up. Not men going through the rituals. Not men bringing their kids to church and dropping them off at Sunday school or a club program. Not men going through the motions with the tag of being religious. Godly men. And Abram was a godly man. Here's what the Bible says the requirement is. What does God require? You go with me to Deuteronomy. Keep your finger in Genesis, because we'll be coming right back. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 12, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee but to fear the Lord thy God? Why, we don't by nature seek to honor God or practice his presence in our life or desire to live righteously. God says, I have one requirement, to fear God, walk in his ways, love him. Here's what David the psalmist prayed. He said, God, unite my heart to fear thy name. What if we made that our prayer? God, would you unite my heart? Here's what we fear, a lot of things. We don't fear God. We fear government. We fear the IRS. The IRS keeps people that normally wouldn't behave behaving. But God, because we don't practice his presence, puts no fear in the average Christian's heart. Look what it said in Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. How do we develop the fear of God in our hearts? Say, Pastor, how do you know that people don't fear God? By their behavior. Just the hidden sin sin in the average church. Just the hidden sin. Things that teenagers are hiding from their parents, and husbands are hiding from their wives, and wives are hiding from their husbands. Daddies are hiding from their children. And then we come to church. That's not godliness. God could trust Abraham on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday because he lived every day practicing the presence of God. That's called the fear of God. There is no fear of God in Christianity today. Man thinks he can do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And when it's uncovered, just hide, deny. Attack the accuser. How do we develop a fear of God? That comes through respect for the Word of God. So if a man has no fear of God, you know the root issue is there is no respect for the Word of God. So man, it's impossible to have a fear of God if you're not in the Word on a daily basis. You're not practicing His presence. I mean to tell you, the majority of Christian men fear their wives more than they fear God. There are things they would never do, things they would never say. Just her look puts that man in line. But God, Almighty God, cannot get that man's attention. Where are the godly men? I'm not talking about faithful to church, and I applaud that. That doesn't make you godly. I'm talking about what you're doing throughout the week, in the afternoon, where you're spending your time, where your thoughts are in the morning. Texts that are being sent, the things that are being watched, the messages that are being read. I'm talking about where the godly men. Godly man has perished from the face of the earth. Verse 12, gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn and fear the Lord. So what were they to do? Gather the men of Israel together and read to them the word of God, that they may hear and learn. The fear of God is learned through a respect for the word of God. And observe to do all the words of the law, that their children, which have not known anything, they may hear and learn to fear God. So how does a child establish the fear of God? The parent, the father, must establish the fear of God first. You cannot teach that which you do not know. I am convinced that we are so proud of our busyness. Literally, we've equated busyness with spirituality. And we've convinced ourselves, because I'm busy for God, I'm walking with God. I don't know if there's been a generation of Christians in the United States of America with less godliness. Fathers that are more absent in the area of godliness. Providing the needs. These kids have nicer shoes than they've ever had. Ride around in nicer cars than they've ever had. Wear nicer clothes than any of those in the previous generations. You say, what is missing from our homes? The one provision that is missing is a godly, not a Christian environment, a godly environment. With a dad, the children know is godly. Look what it says, verse 1. Go back to Genesis with me. Genesis 22:1. What is a godly dad? One that fears God. One that is sensitive to the voice of God. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Men, how often do you hear from God? How many services can you go without hearing from God? How many days can you go without hearing the voice of God? Why is it that even in a quiet atmosphere with the Word of God being read, you don't hear from God? Why is it with the rotation of preachers that we have come through and an active Holy Spirit and everything in its place? A nursery to take out the distractions. Order in the church to eliminate that which might draw away your attention. And a God in heaven that wants to speak to you, and yet, sometimes not weeks, but months, and for some years, and you haven't heard from God. When God speaks, it goes to the depths of your soul and breaks up the fallow ground and causes sin to be revealed. So tell me, when's the last time you heard from God, and what did He tell you? What did He tell you to clean up? What did He tell you to change? What did He tell you to do? Godly men don't go to church and go home. Godly men go to church and hear from God. Godly men can hear from God outside of church. Godly man doesn't wait for an altar call. He'll find a place to throw himself on the ground before God. Godly man doesn't walk with God because he walks in a church door. He can find a park or a street or a room. Something seems hollow when we speak of godliness because our point of reference is this. Godliness means I show up for church, make an appearance, sit in a seat, sing a song, participate in an activity, and I get the label. That's man's test. What about God's test? The test, whether or not you're hearing from God, confession will be made and sin will be confessed, not covered. Proverbs 29 still says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. This is the day and age, not just when people are covering sins, but they're covering everyone else's sin. Can't believe in the ministry of the sin that's being covered. Where is God? Where is godliness in all of this? Trying to raise godly children, but there's an absence of godly fathers. Not just hearing, listen, if you're hearing from God and your heart's right, you're responding, because here's what the Bible says, here am I. There's an immediate response. He said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Do you see the emphasis here? God is making it clear. Listen, I'm talking about thy son, thine only son, the one you love. That's the one you take. Verse 3, and Abram arose up early. This is godliness. There's a command I'm going to obey. I do not understand. This is going to test my faith, but I'll take all the tools necessary to make this sacrifice. I will obey God. Listen, we have a generation of Christianity so feeble that now church attendance can't even be accomplished by the average Christian male. Church attendance. If I make it, I'm going to walk in the last minute and run out the first moment available. I don't want to participate. I don't want to function in a ministry. I want to give as little as I possibly can give. I want to do as little as I possibly can do. We're talking about the most minor of all Christian responsibilities. Obedience now is only done on a superficial level where we feel like that's a recognized obligation, I'll fulfill it. But obedience on a personal level, what about your pride? What about the rearing of that child? What about your spirit? Those things that no one else can see, those are the ones that are ignored. I'm just going to obey in the areas that are under the microscope. This was obedience, adamant, determined, focused obedience. Obedience means you do it exactly how God said to do it. Are we so immature that the most basic steps, they're Christians, never even gotten baptized yet. They're Christians that started tithing. So they claim 2%, 8%, 5%. That's not a tithe, that's theft. You're on such an immature level that you haven't even accomplished tithing. You're disobedient. He went to the place God told him to go to. He could have found another mountain and said, listen, God, that's too far. That's 2 days' journey. God said, Mount Moriah. God, that doesn't make sense. Why do we need to go to Mount Moriah? Because God said so. Verse 4, on the third day, listen, he wakes up early. Does that make sense? Wake up early to sacrifice your son? Travel 3 days, let's pick another mountain. He sees afar off, and his focus is set. His heart is determined. I'm going to go do exactly what God tells me to do. That's a godly man. But now we wake up and say, what am I going to obey today? What do I feel like obeying today? I mean, the excuses, the petty excuses that keep us from reading our Bible, from praying, from attending church. Folks, it is pitiful. It is pitiful. It is the lowest level of Christianity on the planet. While people are being slain, slaughtered, decapitated, their houses burnt, their women raped, we can't make it to church because we're tired. We can't tithe, although we have in excess. We can't sow in, although we have a healthy tongue, mind, and body. Our life is an excuse. Let me just ask you one question. Where are the godly men in this generation? The godly men. Ones that will stand up for God and say, we will do right. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No godliness. Hard to lead your family when you're watching those kind of programs. What kind of godly stand are you going to take when they know what you watch? They know you don't read your Bible. We've had young people tell us, I've never seen my daddy read his Bible before. I've never seen my mom read her Bible. Maybe she does. I've just never seen it. Starts with the leadership in the home. You got a godly dad, there's a trickle-down effect. But I get in my car and I drive my carcass to church and I bring myself in and I deal with the preaching and I put up with the yelling and I get to go home. And I ask you, what good does that do you or your family? Unless there's something deep in your soul that longs for God and longs for the presence of God and understands His presence in your daily life, that's just like the Catholics. That's a ritual. That's not real. God said, I'm just going to pass out a test. You know, at some point, God's going to hand you out a test. And here's why so many Christians fail. You've watched them fail. Maybe you failed. Because you don't just wake up, have a test handed to you, and ace it. There's some study involved. There's some preparation involved. So as Christians come to church, there's no prep. There's no walk with God. And then a real test comes. A real test. Test in their health. A test in their marriage. A test of their purity. A real test of life comes. A real financial test comes. And they fail the test. There's no prep. You just thought, I can fake it and still ace the test. Life's tests aren't that way. You don't pass God's test without some prep work. His faith was tested, but godly men stand firm. They stand firm when their faith is tested. Now, let me ask you this. When he tells him to go take his son and offer him, verse 2, therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of, and I'll raise him up. Listen, he didn't have an experience to lean back on and say, well, he raised Lazarus. He raised Jairus' child. He was crucified 3 days later. He came out of the grave. He had no previous experience with the resurrection. When he said resurrection, I guarantee you this, in his mind, he believed, although he was clueless what in the world God was talking about. You go offer your son, I'll raise him up. Abraham knew nothing. His faith knew nothing of a resurrection, but he walked, he obeyed, he climbed the mountain, he laid his son on the altar, he pulled out the knife. He said, I will stay firm in my faith. It's amazing to see the feebleness of Christianity when the slightest of tests concerning our faith make Christians waver. A car breaks down and tithe is stolen to buy the part. I'm talking about an alternator messed with your faith. A carburetor, a flat tire. The child that has to go to the doctor in the middle of the night messed with your faith. That's called feeble faith. You say, Pastor, you've never doubted. We've all doubted. That doesn't mean your faith is running at 100%. That means your faith is running at 51. You say, Pastor, 49% of my heart says it can't have 51%. That's faith. Lord, help mine unbelief. And Christ says, that's faith. You're functioning with enough faith to overcome your doubt. That's all I need. We need some people that despite the problems and the storms and the society and everything else taking place, that'll say, I will be firm in my faith. Look what happens. He takes in verse 6. Abram took the wood of the burnt offering, laid upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand. In verse 7, Isaac spake to Abram his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abram said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Here's what a godly father does. A godly father understands the command and the importance of instruction, biblical instruction. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Genesis 18:19. For I know him, God speaking of Abraham. This is a godly father. I know him. God said, I have confidence in him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of. Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 13, verse 13. This is speaking of death angel that passed through Egypt. And now as God leads the children of Israel out of Egypt, he gives instructions to the fathers. And he says, verse 13, every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. Now let me ask you this. If you didn't understand that, could your child understand that? Your child going to understand when you're out there looking for a lamb without spot, without blemish, and you are going to celebrate the Passover? Is your child going to understand it when you take a lamb and break its neck? What if that child had been out there with that sheep, considered it a friend? The next thing you know, dad's out there breaking his neck, cutting his throat. Some of you don't like that. And this is 3,500 years later, some of you still don't like that. Say, I'm not in agreement with that. You don't have to be in agreement with God. God's right. Amen. Here comes, can you imagine? Little girl comes running out there. Daddy, what are you doing? God said they're going to ask questions and they're not going to understand. Verse 14, it shall be when, not if. When thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? This is a godly father. Did you know in a godly home, living by godly principle, there's going to be a time when your children are going to come up to you and say, what is this? Because in their little minds, they can't understand what's going on. It doesn't make sense to them. At some point, your daughter's going to come up to you and say, Dad, when I go to the mall, everyone else dresses a different way. I feel uncomfortable. What is this? And a godly father needs to have, you know what instruction is? It's answering those questions in such a way that they know, they understand, and agree. That's a godly father. But if you're not a godly father, not only will you not take time to explain it, you won't understand it, you won't be convinced, and there's no way you'll be able to convince your child. Imagine some dad out there with that lamp. He's mad. Go in the house. Go in the house right now. Get in the house. What are you doing? Get in the house. I told you get in the house right now. Mom, what's dad doing? Be quiet. Don't talk to him. He's upset. This is a good godly parent. You know what the result was? A father that could take his son by the hand and say, we're going up to the mountain. What for, Dad? Make a sacrifice. Climb on the altar. Yeah, try that. You can't get your child to do his homework. You can't get your child to say yes, sir, and be respectful. You can't get your child to say thank you. Here's what we want. Well, my children, that person, I know that person was in clubs and went through clubs for 3 years and earned badges. And guess what? Then they didn't serve God. Is your child serving God or not serving God has nothing to do with clubs. Your child serving God or not serving God has nothing to do with the Christian school or the teacher or the youth program, the youth minister, or his wife. Your child serving God has everything to do with you. Matter of fact, if you read your Bible, you're going to find this same strange command everywhere. Let's go to Psalm 78. You're going to find something strange in your Bible. Psalm 78:1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. And what? Who told us? Our club leaders, our teachers, our Sunday school teachers. Who told us? Our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to them. That's what's being, listen, Bible principle is being hidden from our children by who? The club leaders are teaching Bible principle, but they weren't the one given the command. There is not a single Bible command to a club leader, a Sunday school teacher, or a school principal to teach your child the ways of the Lord. Read your Bible. You know what it says? Fathers, 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 fathers. Guess who's messing up their duty? Fathers. Guess who's handing off their responsibility? Fathers. I'm going to hand that to Mom. I'm going to hand that to the school teacher. I'm going to hand that to Brother Devin and Pastor Robert and Pastor Ben. And I know you've handed it to them because when the child messes up, who do you get mad at? You're not mad at yourself. You're mad at the person that you handed your responsibility to. And blaming everyone in that child's life because you've made the neighbor kid their instructor. Well, he just runs with the wrong crowd, and I can't believe we have the wrong crowd at Capital City Baptist Church. You've made those children your child's instructor. Because every person that spends time with that child becomes their instructor. So whoever you let that child spend time with is your appointed instructor. Verse 5, he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation, who had the command to make it known unto the children? The fathers. That the generation to come, even the grandchildren might know. Even the children which should be born, even the unborn are put in the category. That's your responsibility. Your grandchildren are your responsibility. And God says you ought to so instruct your children that your grandchildren know. That's a heavy dose of instruction. 95% of instruction ought to happen in the home. And 95% of our time with our children should be filled with instruction. Not rebuke. Not correction. Instruction. Only thing they know how to do. Comes with electricity. Lord, help this nation. Lord, help your kids if electricity ever goes out. Your child walk around like this. The electricity went out. Thumb muscle going to shrivel up. I don't fathom what's going on. I don't fathom. Literally, I watch parents get giddy with joy. Oh, he's 2. He already knows how to use my phone. He just figured out. He figured out Angry Birds on his own. Such a little genius. I don't know where he gets it. He doesn't get it because you don't get it. Angry Birds are not going to make that boy a genius or successful. That's brain rot. I thank God for these ministries. I thank God for these leaders. I could not be happier. But all they can do is add. So if you want them to build a beautiful structure on the base that you have established, and that base is jello. I don't care what they built. It's coming down. And guess what? Miss Sandy is not guilty for one of these kids that have gone astray. A godly father determines the direction of a child. A godly father determines the direction of a child. A godly father. Let me ask you a question. Is it even a concern, men? Is godliness a concern? I'm not impressed by your salary. I'm not awed by your house. I'm not amazed by your car. I'm concerned with your godliness.